have to make it in, but I'm so glad that God allowed us to come together one more time. Anybody so happy that they know the Lord? That he knows my name. I guess every once in a while they have to draw back to one of the old songs. God knows my name. Tonight we bless the Lord for those that are here. I guess it must be hot. Right? Is it hot? I guess it is hot. Well, not, but it is hot. Amen. Nevertheless, we thank God anyhow. A lot worse, but we bless the Lord. Amen. I thank God for my wife being here, and amen, everyone. I go places with my wife. I won't tell you all the compliments she get. From the time she comes in to the time she leaves, it's like, man, what am I? They call me Elder Chop Suey. Amen. We bless the Lord anyhow. We really do. God for being here, and we thank God for everyone that's here tonight. Isn't it wonderful to be saved?
Yes.
Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know where you're going and who's on your side, and especially when you watch the news. I'm trying to figure out how the two whole countries go bankrupt. Okay. Greece, bankrupt, banks closed, and people with all their money in the bank can't get out the $66 at a time. The business owner said, we can't run a business with $66. But Greece is bankrupt. How in the Jasmine, what's wrong with Puerto Rico? You got any connections over there? Puerto Rico is bankrupt. Right, they're trying to pull some last minute things to straighten out their finances. So I guess you're glad you're in America right now, Sister Jasmine. We're not in Puerto Rico. But no, these are signs of the times. Now, all those millions of dollars we've got in the bank, right? Businesses can only get out $66. $66. That's all they can get out. It's 60 euros, which would be equivalent to 66 American dollars. Amen. The banks were closed. All the banks were closed. How can you have all that money and the banks are closed? Because the old IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, money. But if you follow it all the way back, we don't have time to go there now. The International Monetary Fund, who was run by the Illuminati, owned everything. So when you don't pay them, you're finished, right? So we don't fear because we know who the Lord is.
Amen.
Amen. We don't fear. David said, how can you believe if God's word said it is true? David said, I am young, now I am old, never have I seen. All the saints that gives love. He said, how's my praise team leader doing? Right? My wife was there. She said, that man can worship the Lord. I said, well, Bishop, the praise team was complaining because they claimed he worked too hard. He said, working them too hard. So Bishop, give you permission. I'm like, every time he called, he said, there's something about a person that really knows how to worship.
Yes.
So you know what? In all of your circumstances and situations, learn how to worship. Remember the Canaanite woman, though she shouldn't receive anything from the Lord. And when she came to Jesus, the Lord ignored her. The Lord ignored her. Now, as bad as her need was, and she's trying to get Jesus' attention, the scripture says he ignored her. But when she fell down at his feet and worshiped, God had no choice but to address her. And so that's the matter. That's the matter of worship. The scripture says that the Father seeketh such to worship him. How in spirit God dwells in worship. For the first things that were created were the angels, and they worship around the throne. So if you in one of those bad situations, how you don't know where you're coming from, and it seems like all doors are closed, worship. As bad as Job's situation was, we went from being the richest to the poorest, but the Bible said that he fell down and worshiped. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. He said, the Lord has given. Lord, but he learned to what? Work. I wonder, what did we do? Hallelujah. To what? So tonight we're going to deal with worship. Amen. We're going to deal with worship. And I give y'all the topic in advance, you know, so you can marinate in yourselves. Amen. We're going to deal with tonight ostentatious worship. Right? Ostentatious worship. So there is a true worship. What the scripture says that God is seeking. Can you go to, where's Dan? Go to St. John's 4. We're going to read 23 and 24, even though I didn't give you that one. You see how you can't get it? All right. It is. All right. Let's go to St. John's 4 and 24 and 23, and then we go to Colossians chapter 2. We're dealing with ostentatious worship and true worship. And if we were to give a definition for ostentatious worship would be something that is not externally, is self-fulfilling, amen, is self-seeking, and most of all, it seeks the praise of men. But true worshipers. Can we say a true worshiper?
True worshiper.
I mean, like, I just want to be a true worshiper. If you don't see me, I still want to worship. How, if the bottom is found in that and everything is against me, I still want to worship. Hallelujah. The true worshipers shall worship the Lord in spirit and in. A whole lot of people are dancing in the spirit, but their life is living a lie. But the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. 2 John 4:23-24. All right. Everybody have their Bible. We get started, and hopefully the audio video team will catch up. But we're dealing with ostentatious worship tonight. And once again, ostentatious worship is self-seeking, self-fulfilling, and not for God. Amen? St. John's 4, let me get to it, verse 23. Amen. We all have it?
Amen.
Let us read. And let us stand for this. We'll read these two verses. These will be our scripture reading for tonight. But the hour cometh, and
the
hour is when?
But
wait a minute, when is it?
Now.
Not tomorrow. But what?
Now.
Now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father
seeketh such to worship.
That's good enough. You know what? That's good enough. May Lord have blessed in the reading of the word in church said. You may be seated. It said, when it comes to true worshipers, you know what? God is looking for you. For the Father seeketh such to what? Worship him. What are we talking about? A true worshiper. Not just the ostentatious, as we went over the last few weeks in Psalm 50 and Micah 6. God said, I'm tired of all your sacrifice. I'm tired of your new moons. I'm tired of all that you're doing extemporaneously. God said, I want something from the heart. I want a truth. I want somebody who will worship me when nobody else is watching. I want somebody who will worship me when they don't have a dime. in their pocket. I guess I'm a tourist for all the time. I'm a tourist boy. I ain't gonna die. Amen. But I ain't gonna go there. But a true worship. Amen. When your worship for God is not dependent on anything but God. No matter who else is falling apart, who else is coming against you, but God. You can blink everything else out. If nobody else don't want to worship it, I'll praise them all by myself. Why? Because God has been good. I just said everything has to be perfect. Lord, I wake up with life, health, and strength. I have the activities of my limb. All my kids, my wife are in reasonable portion of health. So for that, I say thank you. Lord, you don't have to do anymore. You've done enough already. Hallelujah. I don't care about a couple of bumps in the road. I'm still going to worship him. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let anything cause me to lose my joy. I'm not going to let anything cause me to drop down in my prayer.
The Bible is the only book that has accurately
prophesied and predicted the events that are taking place today. How can you doubt? Yeah, I don't know about you, but you can't make me doubt.
Somebody's
right. A lot of them won't mess with their illicit, illegal. illegal stuff as long as somebody's
watching.
But when nobody's watching you, what do you do? Right? A lot of times, you know, I heard people say this years ago, so it ain't none of y'all. I slipped and said a few curse words. Ouch! How you slip? Right? When the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth. So the only way it came out is because it was? Right? From the abundance of the heart. So I slipped and said a few words. Well, how come you don't ever slip when the right people are around? I'm just curious. How you don't slip when the right people are around, but when you're in the wrong environment and it's not a holy place, you can say some bad stuff. That worship is not true worship. That's ostentatious worship. And that worship needs a God check. You know, what a God check is this, right? Now, when you do a God check, you can either pass or fail. Ain't no, I got a 70 and I paid no you. I used to take some courses in school, it was PRF. You either pass it or you fail it. This God check, you can only pass or because God said if you warm in the middle, he said, I will what? So you got to be hot or you got to be cold. So a God check is I pass or I fail. Now let's take a few minutes of a God. Can we do a God check together for a few minutes? All right. First, let's do the husband and wives because they have everything more in common. When you all talk to each other today, was God represented in godliness? Was it represented in holiness? Only one or two answers. You either? And you fail. No other answer. Parents dealing with children. When you dealt with your children, now this is a God check. God is watching you and he wants to know your answer. You know how sometimes when you take a self-test and after you pass, he said, now you're going to grade your own test. You got to put the right grade on this test. You can't make up nothing. Right? You know, parents dealing with children, when they made you mad, was God still there? So when you dealt with your children, was it a pass or a... So y'all write that down? All right. Now some of y'all got grown children. Right? We ain't talking about little children. We talking about dealing with situations. All right. Some of y'all, now all of us got parents. Children dealing with parents. Were you dealing with your parents today? I'm just curious. Did you get a P or an F? Did you pass or did you?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all want to talk to me? We're doing a what kind of check? All right. Y'all went to work today. Anybody went to work today?
Yeah.
I went to work today. I was working with my grandsons, they came here. I almost had an F on one of them. Right, Justice? Did I almost get an F on one? But I said, at least you see every slide, I passed it. I'm sorry, Gio. Hey, Gio's my boy, but I said, you know what? I'm like, we're going to give you a situation. I was like, I just had to turn around for a minute. Justice, is this true? You're not trying to reason with him? I didn't know why I missed it. He's like, but I wanted to get a P, not an F. Alright, well, I'm standing dealing in your employment today. I don't care if it was one of your fellow employees that did something wrong in your, and I'm not talking about your check, I'm talking about a God check. Right? Not what you think, but what did God see? In your dealings with your employer ease that your compadres, did you get a P or an F? And if the boss acted ugly, thank God I'm a true worshiper. Not even true worshiper. When your boss acted ugly, if he did that or she did that ugly today, did you get a P or an F? When they called you on the phone for a bill, you know though you can't pay it. It wasn't their fault that you didn't properly budget. Right? They just want their money. So you doing that, did you get a? Some of us working, but I'm just trying to help y'all get a God check so we can get it right. Some of us work in a position where we have to call on our job and get people's money. So if you got to call and talk to people on your job, you still, how many know you still got, you still S-A-V-E-D. Saved. Right? My God check, when you have to call and get the money, how did you handle that situation? T-R, no in between. We just talk about a God check. And if you were driving down the road and somebody cut you off, you still are S-A-V-E-D. So I'm wondering, when they cut you off, after you gathered yourself together, did you get a P-R-N? Right. These are the things that we go through. And many times we think because nobody's there, that I just got caught up in me. That still is an F in your God check. Right. So I'm just wondering, if you were in line and somebody cut in front of you and you've been waiting for a whole hour to get to the checkout, oh yeah. We were at Sister Ruby's graduation yesterday, and a lady and her baby and the children, they got up and left a seat. So the seat, when the other people came in, was what? Empty. So you don't have a name on it. You don't have a purse or nothing there. So the seat is what? So when somebody comes in, what are they gonna do? So a few minutes later, we hear, "What are you doing to my seat? Don't you know I was passing it to the boy? How did you lose your seat?" So they kept carrying on so much. So we said, "You know what? You can have our seats." "No, we don't want your seat." That's the way you can have our seat anyway. Because the guy behind us was drunk, and we didn't want him to speak all of us anyway. She's like, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yep, we can have our seats." So we got up and moved behind the drunk guy so he could spit on the nose. People going to remember you. Sometimes, somewhere, lady, they're going to see you. Amen. And they're going to remember you. So in our God checks today, are we having P's or S? Amen. And dealing with relationships, people. And, you know, unfortunately, because we deal with our loved ones, a lot of times we let our guards down. But how many know God is still watching? And it's about saying, the eyes of the Lord is what? I mean, to and fro throughout thee. To show himself in behalf of those whose. Well, your heart can't be perfect if you acting ungodly. Amen. Regardless of the situation, you got to be kind. You got to be godly. You have to leave a witness. When somebody's acting so ugly, you just say thank you and God bless you anyway. They'll say, "Well, what do you mean God bless you?" You say, "Well, I just tell you to, I'm just saved." Like, I went to the doctor yesterday. I can't tell you my doctor's name. I went to the doctor yesterday. He asked me, "What are you allergic to?" I said, "Doctors." That's all I'm allergic to is doctors and hospitals. Don't lie, I tell you the truth, but you know, then we make a laugh out of it, but I'm allergic to them guys. Rascals like that. But we were at the hospital yesterday and we talked to the doctor, and the doctor went, "Say, do you drink?" I said, "No, I'm a pastor." He said, a whole lot of pastors may drink. That's what he said. He said, "Those pastors say pass it on." that's the truth. That's what he said. That's what I said. I'm an apostolic pastor.
Amen.
He's okay. That's different. You know, because people have caused the way of truth to be so evil spoken. Right? Like misrepresenting. Having a church, as people are coming in, we have to learn to handle situations properly. So everything we do requires a gut check. Y'all think Minister Simon would be happy with me all the time messing with that in the background? He'd be smiling? I mean, he'd be smiling. I said, man, I don't know what you really think. I'm like, oh, it's peering to his brain. See what he's really thinking. Like, you've been doing this for 9 years, man. You can't get it right yet. But I'm just saying, you have to make a gut check because we all deal with each other. And this is the one thing we have to do in dealing with one another. We don't want to let our guards down. The Bible said a prophet is without honor except where? In his own country, around his own people. Jesus went around his brothers and sisters. They did not respect him. Right? Because we let our guards down. But let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Amen. And we'll start off in verse 12. It's so important that we realize our salvation is not based on anything but us and God. Right? So my God check is every day, at the end of the day, and I've heard a lot of people that are in business, what they do, especially when they own the business, and those of you that are getting power of influence and influence, people already read this, so I don't have to tell you. I am going to ask y'all to raise your hands. Because some of y'all, this is the second time I gave it to you. It ain't the first. But one of the things they tell you to do and how to win friends and influence people is at the end of every day, take some quiet time and evaluate how did you handle situations throughout that day. Right? And you can't do it while you're busy, but you take a few moments, how did I handle that situation? How could I handle it differently? And most of all, how did God see how I handled that situation? We need to take and do that every day. So the next day, when the same, or next week, or when that situation arises, you've already mentally prepared yourself and spiritually prepared yourself that I won't make the same mistake. Because I have made my own evaluation and it wasn't a false spiritual diagnosis. And so I diagnosed the situation I did wrong. I could have handled it better. I could have given God the glory. But my ostentatious works, remember, ostentation is self-seeking and self-fulfilling. When your worship is all about you, amen? So let's go to Colossians chapter 2. I don't have a whole lot of time, but let's get with it. Verse 12. Do we all have it?
Yeah.
Now, once again, we're just trying to be right in the sight of God. The bishop asked me, he said, okay, what are you teaching on tonight? Bishop, I don't really know. I said, we've been dealing a lot with being right in the eyes of God. I said, I guess we're still on that subject. Then the other day, somebody said, oh, so what you preaching on today? It's like, how do you know what you're preaching on? Well, every time I prepare to preach on something, when I get to church, it switches anyway. Right? Well, I said, well, Bishop, I think we're going to still stand on trying to be right in the eyes of God. I said, because we don't want to be in this church and have this the end of what we want. Yes. Right? Being in this church should be the beginning.
Yes.
We don't want the excitement and the joy to wane or to fade because we're here. There is much land still to be conquered. And the Bible says the fields are past white. They are all ready to be harvested. Amen. Verse 12 reads, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. That's a very critical statement. You know, for those that say, through the faith of the operation of God. We are not saved tonight because of anything that we have operated and done. But we are saved because of faith in the operation of who? God. That puts us in a unique position. Now, there's a whole lot of people in church, but they have never had the operation of God. What does operation of God do? It takes that messed up heart. It takes that wicked heart. It takes that ungodly heart. God operates on that and changes it to a godly heart. The faith of the operation of God takes that worldly mind that was only concerned about self, and he operates on that mind. And now we have a mind of Christ. We're talking about the faith of the what? Operation of God. All that stuff that used to annoy and get on our nerves in the past, that used to irk us, yeah, I use my words. So when I want a word, I have to remember to use it. Irk it. But I tell y'all, y'all look it up for yourself and figure out what's going on. All right, no way. Irking. But that mind, those things that used to bother me in the past, the faith of the operation of God on this side of salvation, I don't act the way I used to act. Amen. The bad temper. I used to have a bad temper. I probably still have a bad temper, but the difference is now God has given me the ability to suppress it. And if I stop praying, and if I stop fasting, and I stop seeking God, that old man will resurrect himself. And somebody said, how many know about the night of the living dead? Y'all know about the night of the living dead? Right? When you got saved, you were buried with him through death and baptism. Right? So that old you went down in the water. And according to Romans chapter 6, when you came up, you are a new creation and you're walking in the newness of life, right? So when you get saved through the faith of the operation of God, you are now walking in newness of life. When a bad situation happened, how did you go back to the water, unwrap that old man, and bring him back out? That's the night of the walking dead. Because that dead should have been in. Everybody with me? That dead should have stayed in the water. But all of a sudden, you woke up and you say, my God, here comes the night of the living dead. Because that dead man is now walking. We're going to get to that next week. All right? So you bear with him in baptism. And you've been dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your has he quickened me. God has not made you alive. Quickened me. God has changed. The faith of the operation of God changes you. God changed you the moment you got saved. Remember you said, those things I used to do, I don't do no more. Those things I used to say, I don't say anymore. Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? I'll do it when I first got saved. What do you say now? Right? Has God changed? No. Has salvation changed? No. Aren't you still walking in the newness of life? You should be, but things aren't what they ought to be. Amen. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary, and having small principalities and power. Said, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or in new moon or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body. How many in the body? The body is Christ. Right? So what he goes over is their ostentatious worship, right? The new moons, meats, drinks, holy days, all right? Said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a. Don't let people think it's about what you can do. Right? Voluntary humility. Right? So this is what I'm going to make my decision. This is what I'm going to do. It ain't what God says, but I'm going to voluntarily do it. Because I'm not going to do what God says. I'm going to make a choice. You know, when you volunteer for something, you can choose what you want to do and not what you want. That's what makes you a volunteer. Right? You with me? So, A voluntary humility means I pick and choose what I'm going to, what I'm going to do. As the preacher said the other night, I said, I know, I said, I got to get another saying. He said, if you can't say amen, I say ouch. I said, wait a minute, that's what I say. So I got to get another saying. I don't want nobody to ouch me with my ouch. Okay, voluntary ability and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen. The problem is what? Puffed up in the fleshly mind. Right? That mind won't surrender to God. It's voluntary humility, so I'm going to choose how I worship. I'm going to choose what I like and what I don't like. And if I don't like it, I know Jesus. How many times? I know it. Look at somebody say, I know what Jesus said. I know Jesus said, if any man will come after me. Anybody follow the Lord? Can I just encourage you? Y'all follow the Lord? I want to see y'all give God a wave off if you follow me. Say, if any man will come, let him and but what if you want to come back in? The very first thing you have to do is say, now who? Right? Not about me. It's all about Jesus. Then after I deny myself, when I pick up the cross, then the cross didn't have no specifics about why I'm going to suffer. All I know is that the cross represents suffering. Because if you're going to reign with him, you have to. If you don't suffer with him, you can't. So, but before you can suffer already, you have to deny. I'm not just wondering tonight in church, how many of us have purpose? It's not about what I want. I can have anything I want. As a matter of fact, somebody asked me the other day, they said, can you tell me the story again? How you can be offered a job making $90,000 an hour and you are a preacher? Matter of fact, you know what my doctor asked me? He said, wait a minute. He said, you went to this school, it ain't important to no school. You did this, and I know people. He said, and you never had to be a preacher? He said, your family, he said, your parents must have been upset with you. Right? He said, I just can't figure that one out. Right? So how do you leave that school and you had, man, like I said, somebody asked me recently, you had a chance to make $90 an hour, so you could have made $90 an hour and still been saved. I said, but God didn't tell me to do that. Right? And I've had many opportunities. And that $90 an hour, like I said, if anybody don't know the story, it's a true story. Because he started with me, and then the last time, you didn't get scared not go back. I think you just didn't go back because you was tired of work. But at any rate, we did something that the company of engineers could not do. And when we did it, the guy said, can you be here in 2 days? And this is what he told me. True story, no lie. He said, I will give you, because he's from Canada, he said, I will give you my whole district from Maryland to Maine to Buffalo. He said, that will be yours. You just sit here. And he said, if anything is sold in there, you get a percentage even if you don't sell it. And you take care of all of my place. He said, you just got to go to school for 3 months so we can train you on our equipment properly. He said, well, why didn't you do it? Because God didn't tell me to do it. Right? Because I was denying myself. If I want money, trust me, I can have money. And when people hear what I made there, and it's not important what I made there, they say, impossible. You can't make a living like that. But you know what? God has been good to me. Right? And my wife. So God always made ways for us. But nevertheless, we're talking about denying ourselves. Amen. Just placing a higher premium on God. My time is almost up, but I'm going to stay on course. Let's get down to verse 20. Verse 20 says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the influence, then when you in Christ, you should be dead from the what? Influences of the past. or fail? How much is the world influencing us? How much is the world playing a major part in the decisions that we make, or we're supposed to be dead in Christ? Just pass or fail. I know somebody says, if I got a 60, I just got by. This one ain't that. You got to pass or fail in God's eyes. Amen. From the rudiments of the world, why is so living in the world are ye subject? Wait a minute. You're dead to the world, but you are. How does that work in Christ? You're supposed to be. But all of a sudden, your life has been governed by. No wonder Paul said, come up from among them and be ye separate. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of who? You. No, perfect will of God. Amen. So what if you're not in the world, how do you make our decisions? Not just, this is for the internet. Can y'all loosen up a little bit? I ain't talking about y'all. I ain't talking about you. Unless it's you. Right? How in the world you free from the world? But you govern your life by the world standard when you're supposed to have died out to that. Then your worship is not true worship. Because the true worship would worship the Father in spirit and in. And you know, when you start worshiping God the right way, God is looking for you. Amen. So we're saying, but you're governing your life based on the world. Are you subject to the ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and. Paul is asking the Colossian church, he said, you're in Christ. But you're governing yourself by the standards of the world. Is it you governing yourself by the teachings and the doctrines and the commandments of men, but you're in Christ? Paul said, how does that happen when you were buried with them in baptism and you're supposed to be dead to the influences of the world? How does the world have such an impact on the church when we're supposed to have died out to the world? I gotta get to these other scriptures. Okay, it says, which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship. Will worship is not God's will, but it's self-seeking. Right? Self-fulfilling. Will worship is what you want. It's not what God wants. Right? So it's all going to perish with you. And just for the sake of time, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Wow. Praise God, y'all be singing too much. Y'all sing my time away. Right? So I said, I got to be there. But nevertheless, I'm just trying to say that tonight, you know, honestly, you know, we have to throw in some humor every once in a while. How many of us are living our lives in church based on the world? How many of us make decisions based on the world? And Paul calls it will worship. It's not about God, it's about our will being fulfilled. Our desires being, it's not even like, you know what I'm saying? We always trust the Lord with all your heart, be not to go on the sin, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct the path. And if we get ready to do something, we forget to even talk to him about it. How many times do we make decisions? Not based on God and his word, but because this is what I want to do, and because I can do what I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, and I do what I want to do. Do what you want to do. I heard Ecclesiastes say, but hold on this. For all these things, God will bring me into. You can do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. You know, because we are free moral agents. God will make us do nothing. But for all these things, God will bring us in judgment. I got to take a few minutes. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, we know we are dead with who? We're dead with Christ. We were buried with him by baptism unto his death, and we rose with him through the operation of the faith of God. It said, if ye then, verse 1, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right. Set your right there. I wanted tonight, if God were to examine, and he is, where are your true affections? Right? And it doesn't mean just your affection, but it means your mind. What preoccupies, what thoughts preoccupy and dominate your mind? Is it the things of God or the things of the world? We say, I want to live with him forever, but we don't want to take no time right now. Right? If I told my wife, I might be messing up a little bit now. Before we got married, I want to do whatever you want to do because we're going to be together forever. Right? And I did everything she wanted to do. Somebody said right now, I can say, ouch. Right? Because maybe I'm preoccupied now. I'm just talking about in the beginning in your courtships. When you were courting God, you say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But what has happened throughout the process of time? What has changed? God has not. He's still the same. So what has changed? What influences are preoccupying our mind? Is it about this? You know, we find everything to complain about, but we don't find much to praise God about. The Bible said, with many of them, God was not well pleased because they were overthrown in the wilderness. Well, what was the problem? They murmured and they... God said, I'm not going to get glory out of you grumbling and complaining. That's the way of the world. All right, I'm going to keep going. Verse 3 says, if any man love God, let's get down to verse 8. Alright, that was if I went to the other scripture, but I'm not going to go there tonight. Let's go down to verse 8 of the same one. So our minds. Now, we know we can't just say, oh, it's all about heaven. But we're saying heaven has to occupy a portion of our mind and pleasing God sometimes. Amen? Not just pleasing ourselves. Verse 8 through 10. These are all the things you need to put off. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Sin that you have put off. The old man is what? Dead. And verse 10 says, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, and we just want to be like who? God. Bowels of mercy. And this is, you're making a God check, right? This is your standard that should be PPP. You won't do nothing but pass. All right? Holy love, bound for mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing, and forgiving. If any have a fault against any, even as we're trying to pass. These are the things that we have to now put on. Right? But some, when it comes to that forgiveness, we got some bad situation. So when you just, every time I do this, I have a flashback. You need to get out of that. Because the devil's going to use that flashback to always keep you short of God's glory. Forbearing one another means, listen, you did me wrong, and though it's within my own power to retaliate or vindicate myself, I'm just going to take it. That's forbearing. Somebody tells you off, and you just keep smiling through it. That is forbearing. Somebody tells you off, and you tell them off, you have just got an F in your God check. Right, so every day, let's do a God check. It's not what I think. It's not what anybody else thinks. Your God checks what we think. Those are the things that we have to put on. It says, and above all these things, put on God's love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in. Hallelujah. Listen, everybody got something to complain about. What good is it going to do? Be what? Thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
We knew what the God was. We knew he had a God. We had a couple of them.
Somebody broke into our house once. This is how bad my dad was. So he went with the detectives and got his gun. They didn't know him. Because if he found the person that broke into the house with the detectives and the police, he was going to shoot him. With the police. So when I saw that, I said, you know what? It's a possibility. If I act up, he may do some shooting. So I just figured, I never took a chance. I just followed the rule. Amen. But you have to obey your parents in all things. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be. I wonder how many children are discouraged because of us parents. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now, this is, eye service is ostentatious worship. Right? Eye service as well, men's pleasers. But the opposite of ostentatious worship is in singleness of heart, hearing God. Right? So tonight, is it eye service, pleasing people? You know, in those other churches, I don't know where they are because I haven't been there, but in those other churches, they know how to say and do the right thing when the right people are around. But if they ain't around, you see a whole other them. Right? Because it's not the seamless of heart fearing God, but it's his eye service as man pleasers. Because when we do it in seamless of heart pleasing God, we know God is watching us how often? All the time. All right, we are almost finished here. Amen. And whatsoever you do it what?
Heartily.
Yeah, not half-hearted. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not ostentatious worship. It's always considering man. Knowing that of the Lord Jesus, you shall receive the reward of the
inheritance.
And in clothing. But he that doeth wrong shall receive because of God, as we all stand. Ostentatious worship forgets God. Ostentatious worship, as the elders and the ministers come forth, leads God out. But tonight, our worship should be from a God check. Whatever I do, Lord, let it be real. You ever remember that song? If I sing, Lord, let it be real. If I pray, Lord, let it be real. Lord, whatever I do for you, Jesus, just let it be real. Our challenge is to be all that God wants. Anybody want to do whatever it takes to please God? Jesus had this testimony. He said, I do always. You know, we're not perfect, but even if we mess up, get it right, not next year. Right? We all have a bad moment because we are human. But don't let the bad moment linger. Amen? It's time for us to step into the plea and be true worshipers. And if you want to be a true worshiper, we do it how? In spirit and in truth. And remember, God is always watching you. God is always watching me. There's a lot of times when things happen that I don't like. But my response, right, Gio, is God is watching me. Didn't I let you have it when you did? I said, you know what? I won't let him have his way because he's gonna have to be up here working. Right? They called me to come work at 9 o'clock in the morning. Amen. So I just bless the Lord for that because of their willingness. So I said, I rationalized this for you. I really figured it out. I said, I know what the problem was. Not truly. I said, you know what? I was giving Gio a job to do outside by himself. Gio didn't want to work by himself. Gio wanted to work with me. So I said, you know what? I was the one that messed up, right, Gio? He said, yeah. All right, praise the Lord.